Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 42 of the Noisecast podcast about geek tech news and games and gadgets and all kinds of whatever the hell we feel like talking about. Tonight, we have a really small group of people. We got OC Entertainment, who's off doing other things at the moment, but he'll be back. Gonzo Ryder.
Got to give props to OC for hooking up the Ustream live chat.
Yes, definitely. You guys have no idea what he went through, but I'm sure he'll regale you with the tales later. We also have Ben.
Yo, and I just want to reiterate, yeah, that OC, he's a trooper. He's the best. Go him.
And I'm your host, Vito Number 9. This will go down in history as the point when it all went to shit.
No, that was episode 2.
Yeah, you're probably right.
We're just showing off how awesome we are.
There's not much to show off.
That maybe only applies to you. There's a lot for me to show off. I'm a giant ginger. I can do whatever I want.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about consequences when you have no soul.
Yeah, I just... No limits, man.
Okay, if you guys hear me cringe, it's because I forgot that the beer was disgusting and I was still holding down.
That you bought a shitty beer.
So, all right, let's get started. First things first, Apple versus Samsung, round 812. This time we're talking about Apple allegedly altering photos of the Samsung Galaxy Tab 10.1. Now, if you don't know... When Apple filed its injunction against the Samsung Galaxy Tab 10.1, they said that it was similar to the iPad in so many ways. Like, oh, it's the same form factor, it's shaped the same, blah, blah, blah. And now people are saying that Apple, when filing this injunction, they went and altered the image to make the Galaxy Tab look more similar to the iPad than it really does. Now, I'm not saying that they did. I'm not saying that they didn't. But the images look kind of like maybe possibly.
It looks like they might have done a little bit of fudging there.
Yeah, I saw one like comparison shot somebody else had made where they'd lined everything up as to what Apple presented and then what it actually looks like. Not having any IRL experience with a Galaxy Tab, I can't really say which one is more correct. But according to that picture, it looked fairly damning. Like, the proportions were off, and, some shenanigans were going on. But I don't know what to believe, quite frankly.
I've played with an iPad. I've played with a Galaxy Tab. And... from what I can tell, the only real similarity is they have glass on the front and rounded edges. That's about it.
Yeah, at this point with the tablet, there's only so many form factors that you can use that are going to be appealing to the consumer.
Right, and that's one of the things that I said when Apple first started their initial round of injunctions. There's only so much you can do with a big piece of glass. You know, it's a rectangle with glass and round edges.
No? Yeah, the thing is, though, I don't think anyone's really arguing that, because really, what else can you do? But in the pictures they presented, when you see the two side by side, they like the actual, what do you call that, like resolution is the same. And to correct, fill me in, I'm not exactly sure, not being too familiar with the Galaxy Tab, that's like a widescreen resolution, right? Like
yes, 16 by 9. The Galaxy Tab is a 16. Actually, it's a 16 to 10.
Okay. Well, in the pictures that Apple presented, it really doesn't look like a 16 by 10. It looks more kind of squarish, like an iPad. Yep. So when you look at those two next to each other, then it looks like, holy shit, these are exactly the same. Whereas, I guess in real life, the actual dimensions would look dissimilar.
Right, and Merrimack brings up a good point, and it's something that a lot of us have wondered. why didn't Samsung say something about this before, like when the original injunction was filed?
Maybe they're not that familiar with their own products.
We'd probably be able to hear you better if you'd stay closer to the microphone.
No.
Look, I know you're drinking whiskey over there and having a grand old time, but we're trying to be professionals.
I'm pacing back and forth because this whole thing just confuses me.
Well, you know, and I mean, I don't really know why Apple is like, they're trying to confuse our consumers, because if you go to the store and there's an iPad display and there's a Galaxy display, you're not going to be like, oh, these are pretty much the same. I don't know the difference. It's pretty obvious when you have them in your hand.
Well, I don't know. See, I know some people who aren't exactly techies, and I can imagine them going into a store and they're like, I want an iPhone or an iPad or whatever. The salesman's like, well, we don't got that. We got this. It's pretty much the same. And they're like, all right, works for me, and they buy it.
Well, then they wouldn't have bought an iPad anyway because they went to the wrong fucking store.
Well, I mean, you go to Best Buy or you go to AT&T or the Verizon store, whatever.
Well, then it's their fault for not having the iPad in stock, if that's what the guy wants.
See, I think if somebody wants an iPad, like they know for sure what they want, they specifically want an iPad, they specifically want a Galaxy Tab, they're going to get it. But when you just go in knowing, I want a tablet, it looks basically like this, you know, everyone's talking about it, and you really don't know any better after that point, and the salesman's just like, here, have this. I'm like, all right, works for me. You're going to take it.
Well, that's another one of those things that you that's why we exist. You know, that's why people talk to us first. I mean, cause isn't that when we started this whole thing? Because we're constantly talking about shit. People are always coming up to us.
Oh, I thought we just liked hearing our own voices.
Well, see, that's why I talk to myself. That's not why I talk to you guys. But no, because people will come up to the geeks of the world, and I feel a certain responsibility to an extent to present them with as much information as possible to help them make an educated decision. Now, if they just keep being fucking stupid about it, then you tell them to go buy an HP touchpad.
Yeah, I mean, I like to help people when they have their technology questions, but I really get annoyed when people are like, well, I just want it to do this. And it's like my sister was trying to buy a new computer a couple weeks ago, and she was like, well, I just want to be able to do PowerPoints and word processing. And I was like, well, you can get anything. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And I'm just a dick like that, but.
Well, that's not even being a dick. That's answering the question honestly. If all you want is word processing and PowerPoint presentations, then there's really not any computer on the market that cannot handle those two tasks perfectly.
Yeah. So, and, you know, I don't get why Apple is all pissed off here, because, you know, like OCE saying in the chat, they're just mad because someone's making another tablet that they might not buy an iPad. And isn't that what the whole competition, the marketplace, is about? So what if it fucking looks similar?
I think their point, though, is that they feel that Samsung is trying to basically impersonate the iPad. And so for the people, like I was saying, who don't know any better, it looks the same, so they get it. And they're basically putting on the iPad's clothes and acting like they are the iPad, and then taking in the ignorant people.
Did anybody hear what he just said?
Son of a bitch.
Dude, I'm telling you, you gotta
you gotta shout.
Auto adjust. Every time you make a P sound, your microphone pretty much mutes itself.
Yeah, I just won't use that consonant then.
Try talking without a P.
All right, will not say the letter that comes after O.
Exactly. I won't say that letter.
What letter is that?
I'm not going to say it.
Oh, I don't really know the alphabet. Can you recite it for me?
No. No. Anyways.
All right.
I guess
we'll move on then.
So never mind. No, basically, all I was trying to say was that Apple's mad because... Oh, fuck. I used the P. Apple's mad because Samsung is pretending to be them, essentially. I don't know. Whatever.
What company are we talking about?
Shut the fuck up, Gonzo. Vito tried to make a shitty segue earlier, and we just totally ignored it. So go on to that.
All right. HP is discontinuing their web OS, right? A lot of people had – a lot of listeners of this show, I know, have been shitting themselves over HP's touchpad because they went on sale, $99 for the 16 gig. $149 for the 32 gig. But, and here's the kicker, it's pretty much defunct. It's just a big waste of space because HP has decided to kill off WebOS. So, yeah. Thoughts?
It's too bad, really, because I use WebOS a little bit. A friend of mine used to have that phone they used to have. It's begins with a letter I'm not supposed to say.
The pre? Exactly. I can say it.
Fuck you guys. So he used to have that, and I played with it a little bit, and it seemed to work pretty cool. Fuck, I'm just using the P's anyways, whatever. And everyone said it was real promising, and it was a good operating system, but now they're just dumping it in the garbage. Like, never mind. Fuck you guys.
Well, you know, the shocking thing is that, you know, once they made this announcement that they're discontinuing it and the price dropped to $99, it's been flying off the shelves.
Exactly.
And I think if that's shown anything, it wasn't that people weren't satisfied with the WebOS experience. It's that they just priced it too high. And, like, now they're fucking sold out everywhere. You can't get an HP touchpad, hardly. Well, you haven't already bought one.
No one cares what operating system it runs. It's just that it's a tablet for $100.
It's a tablet for $100, and it has some pretty decent specs.
Well, what I was saying to some other people when they were considering buying one, even if you only use it for an e-reader and for, like, browsing the internet, it's still, you got $100 dropped into it, and it's still a color e-reader for $100. You know?
And, you know, especially if you just want to surf the web, it fucking works fantastic.
And the color is $250? And you don't get nearly as much space. You get expandability, but it's a smaller screen. And, yeah. But,
you're in it for $100. It's, you know, it works similar to the iPad that everybody fucking wants. But this is only $100, and it can do anything that the iPad can do.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned the iPad, because HP tested their WebOS on an iPad, and WebOS ran twice as fast on the iPad. So what does that tell you about the internals?
It says the hardware is shitty. But here's what I was going to say.
It's a fucking $100.
Yeah, no, that's – for $100, why not? If all you're going to do is surf the web and pretty much just surf the web and maybe read some ebooks, that's fine.
I mean, what do you fucking do on a tablet other than use it to have some entertainment while you're taking a shit?
Well, this is the thing. If you expect to be able to use apps or anything like that, which really that's a big draw of tablets is the apps. And if you're going to want to do that, then the touchpad is not going to do anything for you because there's going to be no support for it. Until a dev team gets Android running on that hardware, don't expect to do anything other than just surf the net. That's it. That's all you're going to be able to do. So, I mean, if you want to watch Netflix and Pandora, maybe it works on the web, but whatever. If you want to do all these specialized applications, shit's not going to work because no one's supporting it anymore. And it's not like developers. I'm sure there's still going to be a small home group or homebrew, like, niche market, but nobody's
trying to sound all fancy and shit.
Them fancy book words, but no, like, nobody, the development community isn't going to be nearly as big as, like, an iPad or Android. There'll be some enthusiasts that'll develop for it, sure, but it's not going to take off. It's dead in the water.
And I don't think anybody's really expecting it to take off at this point. I think that the people that are snatching it up and pulling it off of the shelves for the $100 or $150 price, they're looking at it the same way we are. It's a color e-reader for $100 with a 9.5-inch screen. for that price, what you're getting, if you just look at it as a color e-reader that may or may not be able to do other things in the future, yes, great price, amazing value. But like you said, you want to do anything else with it, don't fucking hold your breath.
But exactly. But I can see now that it's blown off the shelves and a lot of people have it and it's not supported. I see a lot of like independent developers doing some hacking on it because now it's in the marketplace and everyone has one.
That's not going to last though. There's going to be an interest, definitely. Don't get me wrong. Just the same way that all the accessories are all sold out now too because suddenly people have it and now people want cases and shit like that. But after the initial, you know, surge, it's not like we're going to have more people using touchpads unless all of a sudden HP pulls a Fox and renews it, like, just like they did with the Family Guy.
See, the problem, if they do that, the problem is the price goes back up and people don't want it anymore.
Exactly. So it's kind of...
It's only happened because the price point has dropped so far.
Yeah, and it's not that people want WebOS or want a touchpad, they just want to spend $100. They don't want to spend anything more. And they'll take what they can get for $100, even if it's kind of
shit. Now, right, and there is a small development community on XDA developers. All of my geek brothers and sisters know exactly what XDA is. And they've gotten Android up and running on lots of different platforms. And like you were saying, now that it's out there, and a lot of people have it now, I anticipate them being able to bring some flavor of Android to the touchpad in the future. It just depends on how difficult the kernel is, because they're going to have to completely rewrite the kernel to run on the touchpad.
Yeah, and
no doubt.
Then, you know, it's all gravy from there. Then you're just running an Android device, and no big deal. It might be kind of sluggish or whatever. Not optimal performance, but fuck, you spent $100 on it, and now you're getting a lot of usability. So, but until that happens, don't expect magic with the touchpad. You're gonna need an iPad for that one.
Shit in your bushes, Ben.
Go ahead. I mean, probably help them grow. It's fertilizer, man.
It's fertilizer. Oh, all right. Shit.
Are we done with this one?
Yeah, let's keep it rolling, man.
I suppose we have.
All right. Well, now since we're talking about WebOS, Microsoft is trying to pull over the WebOS developers because, you know, hey, WebOS is kind of dead, guys. So why don't you come develop for Windows Phone 7?
Well, here's my question: how many independent WebOS developers were there really? I could be totally wrong, so someone feel free to correct me, but I feel like people who were developing for WebOS, they were also developing for other things too and just decided to also support WebOS. I don't know how many primarily WebOS developers there were.
Well, there may not have been that many, but Microsoft is saying, hey, if you are a WebOS developer and you actually got your application published, come over to Microsoft, be a Windows.
And they'll hook you up.
And we'll give you everything you need. We'll give you a phone. We'll give you dev tools. We'll train you, teach you how to program for it. We'll give you everything you need to be successful on our platform.
Oh, so they're actually supplying equipment. Okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, they're not just saying, hey, you can develop for us. They're saying, we want you to develop for us, and to prove that to you, we're going to give you everything you need to make awesome applications.
Oh, okay. I got you. Oh, that's different then. That's pretty cool, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, like, there was a tweet that came out that said, you know, we'll give you a phone, dev tools, and training, and everything you need to come, which kind of makes me seem that the Windows 7 is trying to buy out, get all the developers to come to them because they know that that will make their platform awesome.
Well, I don't want to say buy out because that's kind of like saying they're going over there and hey, we'll pay you more. This seems more like they're going after the people that they know have some experience in developing. Well,
yeah, and I think Windows Phone 7, they're trying to be very developer friendly.
Yes.
And say, look, we have all these tools that you can use to make awesome apps that can potentially make you money.
Well, the way I see it is they're doing it to prevent them from going to Android or to iOS. Because, all right, imagine you're a WebOS developer. That was your primary thing. That was all you were doing. And you still want to develop apps, but now your platform is dead. So, like, well, I guess I better move on to either Android or iOS. Which one of the two? That's kind of up to you. But all of a sudden, here comes Microsoft, like, hey, come to us. We'll give you shit. And like, all right, I guess I'll go over there instead.
Develop for them, first of all. For
Android, and that makes their platform better.
Exactly.
For Android, you get the free dev tools, but you have to pay for the phone. For iOS, you have to pay for the...
Everything.
You have to buy an Apple computer. Then you have to buy... You have to pay the $100 for the dev kit, I believe. Is that the price?
Like the developer account is, I think, $99.
Somebody step in and tell me if I'm wrong. I think it's $99 for a year, isn't it?
I'm pretty sure that's correct, yeah.
And then Microsoft comes in and says, "Nah, we'll give you everything. And if you want specialized training, we'll give you that too." That's a pretty awesome deal. If you really enjoy developing for a mobile platform, you can't ask for a better deal than that. It's just not possible. They're basically paying you to develop for them when you were developing already. They're paying you to do something you want to do anyway.
Exactly. And I mean, too bad Kevlar or Agrippa or someone isn't here to weigh in on this, but you know, more apps for them is good for them, because I don't know what the ecosystem is like over there right now, but I know for sure it's definitely not as strong as either of the competitors.
So. No, it's not. And that's why you won't hear a whole lot of 11D bazillion apps in the Windows Phone App Store or whatever the hell they call it. Because they don't really have the support that Android and iOS have. But I do know that the people who own the phones, the people that own the devices, are very passionate about those devices. Because apparently they're very good. It's a very good mobile platform. So, you know, sometimes that's all you really need. Just people that are passionate about your product. And did Gonzo die?
No, I'm not dead. I'm reading. And I don't have anything different to add. I would just be repeating and repeating, and no one wants to hear that shit.
Maybe I need to shut up. I should be hosting and not contributing. But there's only three of us.
So, you gotta do both.
We're just making shit work, man. Because we're awesome.
This is the Ghetto Fabulous episode. The answer to life, the universe, and everything
is Vito.
I'm pretty sure it's still 42. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. But
all right, well, sticking in mobile acquisitions here, we got Google acquiring the Motorola Mobility Division.
Yeah, I feel like this maybe should have been higher up on our list of things to talk about.
Nah, fuck it.
Whatever. We got to it, and we sort of segued. You know, yeah, I'm not the segue professional, but I don't have 40 episodes of practice under my belt. But is anybody else excited about this? I think this is great. Because I've made no secret of my supreme hatred of Motorola's product as of late. And I'm kind of excited that Google is wrapping their hands around this and getting their own mobile division.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't use Android or Motorola, but to me, as you know, as an Apple user, it seems like it could invigorate the marketplace and force Apple to get off their ass and improve. So, I mean,
and quit telling people it just works.
Exactly. So, I mean, you know, good for you guys. Enjoy it, and hopefully there's a trickle-down effect.
Hopefully it will come to Apple and make it even more magical.
Exactly.
Well, the reason that I am excited about this is Motorola is – the main reason that I chose Motorola is the specs for the Droid X were really nice. The lockdown bootloader was kind of upsetting, and I wasn't fully aware of how – garbage the user skin was going to be in the beginning, but I liked the specs, and I liked the fact that Motorola was one of the few American companies still making devices. I'm one of those Supermoto America fuck yeah types.
Okay.
You know, so when I saw Motorola, I was like, yeah, this is an awesome phone, American company, kick ass. And I grabbed it, and it was,
to put it was like, shit.
Disappointing. We'll say we'll be political about it.
Okay. Okay.
I was less than impressed.
Shit sucks.
But now that Google is picking it up, I'm hoping that what's going to happen is they'll pick up and they'll keep all of the talent that they have putting in the hardware, because Motorola makes some good solid hardware. It's the software that they jam in there that shits all over it and makes it terrible.
I think it was HTC made the first Nexus. Who made the Nexus S?
That was Samsung.
Okay, so...
Hence the S.
Good point, I guess.
Now, see...
So, hopefully, by them acquiring Motorola, we can look forward to more kind of, quote-unquote, naked Android devices.
See, that's just pure exactly Android where I was going.
With good hardware.
So. That's exactly where I was going, and I'm glad you're here with me, Ben. I'm glad we're together on this one.
Tag team.
But yes, I was actually going to say I'm hoping for more Google only devices where you just get the pure unfucked with Android experience, because ever since 2.2, 2.1, and now especially with 2.2, Google doesn't need a skin. In the beginning, Android was iffy, and it needed all of those skins, but it has grown over the past couple of years. It's gotten a lot better than where it was in the beginning, and it doesn't need to be skinned anymore. And I understand that people are wanting to set themselves apart with their user interface, but they already do that with the design of the device. I mean, you can look at an HTC and tell that it's an HTC just because of the way that it's designed. You can look at a Motorola and you know that it's Motorola. You don't need to open up the device and start fiddling with it and have it crash on you 800 times to know, oh, yep, this is definitely Motorola. So I'm really looking forward to an awesome, awesome experience with good Motorola-esque hardware and just a straight-up Google operating system.
And I really think that if Android can get away from the custom UI skins and whatnot, that'll really take it to the next level as far as in terms of consumer enjoyment of the product.
Yes. Get it away from the custom skins. Get it away from the locked bootloaders. Let people do what they want to do with their phone. That's what Android was built on.
It needs to be that, because that's always kind of been the Google thing. It's like, here's this. Let's open source it somewhat and let people do what they want. Like it's the same. It's always been like that with Google. Like with the Google Labs thing, people can make whatever they wanted and put it in the thing, and people can use it in their Gmail or whatever. And the phone needs to be the same way.
Exactly. Well, that's the whole reason they made Android open source to begin with.
Yeah.
People do what they wanted to do, and then.
But when companies are locking down the bootloaders and whatnot, and giving these terrible UIs, custom UIs, it's kind of like being hypocritical.
Right, but that doesn't have. That's not speaking on Google.
No, it's not.
Google didn't do that. But
with this, with them getting the Motorola Mobility, though, it'll allow for some of that not to happen, and I think that's better.
And maybe, hopefully, Google will take this and put their unfucked with version on there, and people will see, hey, people are buying more of Google's device because they don't want to deal with our artificial DRM bullshit on our phones.
Yeah.
And, come on, guys, let's be honest. When was the last time somebody put out a device that wasn't able to get hacked?
Yeah.
Until you can privatize intelligence, you're never going to have your shit locked down completely. So just stop being a dick about it. Just let it go.
And it doesn't hurt anything. Except maybe you break your phone, but that's your own fault.
I'd say that hurts something, but whatever. So I was listening to, think it was This Week in Tech this morning, so I can't claim any kind of credit for this idea. But someone on there was talking about how Motorola, I don't know if this applies to Motorola Mobility, but Motorola also makes a lot of the set-top boxes that you get your cable providers and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Motorola and so they were wondering maybe this will also help Google TV penetration and get that out there.
Well, is the set-top box part of the Mobility?
I'm pretty sure it's not.
I don't know. That's a thing. Somebody else brought that up, you know, and I wanted to float the idea out there too.
I think it's a bad idea.
Mobility division strictly encompasses the phones and maybe the tablets. I don't think it has anything to do with like their set-top boxes or any of that stuff.
I see. So never mind.
Yeah, that person was a dumbass.
But they might not have even been on This Week in Tech. Might have been in a different podcast. So
it's okay. I don't think anybody from Twit is going to listen to this and say, "Hey, this is bullshit." We didn't say that.
And if they did, they're free to come on and defend themselves.
Yeah. Defend yourself, sir.
Come into the gauntlet with us.
That's what we should do. We should just start calling out famous podcasters. Be like, "Yeah, Punk, what's up?" And then, you know, if you want to have a one-on-one about this, come on our show and tell all your listeners about it so they can listen too.
Make sure.
Calling you out.
Start conversation. Yeah, I don't think Leo Laporte can get angry.
No, you haven't seen that clip where he yells at Mike Arrington?
I did, but he was, "Screw you! Screw you!
He dropped some F-bombs.
He did drop a single F-bomb at the end,
kind of surreal, because Leo Laporte just seems like such the nicest person in the world. And to see him angry was like, oh my god. It's like finding out Santa Claus isn't real. Oh shit, I hope no kids are listening to this.
Oh, there it goes. There it goes. We just lost our child demographic.
Damn it. We were the last ones holding on. Our under 12 market.
All right. So
FamilyWatchdog.us.
Now that we got Motorola Mobility out of the way, let's talk about Verizon.
Do we have to?
We do, because Verizon's strike is supposed to be set to be supposedly maybe over on Tuesday. The division of their landline division, the people that do all their cabling and deal with
the people that come to your house and you have a service call.
Those guys and a lot of the tech support people too for all of that stuff. They've been on strike. 45,000 people have been on strike because Verizon wanted them to pay for their benefits. Thoughts?
So, okay, I'm kind of an idiot, and I really don't know anything about this because I haven't been keeping up on it. How long have they been on strike?
A few weeks now.
Yeah, it's been, well, shit sticks. I don't even remember now.
Yeah, it's been a while.
All right, I know that they were upset because, Verizon wanted them to pay for their health insurance benefits because they're union workers and they're all pissy because they're like, "Oh, well, Verizon's making all this money and we shouldn't have to pay more for our benefits when Verizon's making money." But a lot of the money that Verizon's making is in their mobile division.
Yeah, and it's not the landline and the cable and whatnot.
Right.
And just for some info, they've been on strike since the 6th of August.
I gotcha.
There you go.
So basically, if I was a Verizon customer, how would I have been affected by the strike? Like if I wanted to get BIOS installed or something?
That's the thing. A lot of people haven't been able to get anything done. There have been people calling to cancel their phone service, and they can't do it. They've been calling for cable tech support. Like, managers are having to answer the phones because there's nobody there to do it.
Oh, I see. That kind of sucks. So.
Yeah, now I read a story that said most of the people are averaging $81,000 to $91,000 a year are the people that are striking. And I just want to say this. Fuck you guys.
Fuck you guys.
I don't even make that much money, and I pay for my fucking insurance, all right? So get off your fucking high horse, shell out some dough, and pay for your health insurance. It's not that big of a deal, especially when you're making that much money.
I totally agree. I was unaware of that fact, and you put it that now way, that I know, it's a fuck those guys moment.
Exactly. I mean, at first, I thought it was kind of the blue collar employees, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
like, I think they deserve some benefits, whatever. And,
yeah, they do.
They do deserve benefits. I'm not going to say that they don't.
Oh no, but, I agree with you. But it's like when it's like the
subsidized
executives
benefits
and shit like that or whatever. Like when they make almost 100 grand.
The executives aren't the ones that are striking. The executives are the ones that are out there. This is the workers that are striking are making $81,000 to $91,000.
Yeah, when you make almost 100 grand, like maybe it's because, you know, I don't make nearly 100 grand, so of course I can look up at them and wave my finger. But seriously, if you make that much, how hard is it to get your own benefits? Come on.
And they're not even saying that that you have to pay for your own health insurance. This is health insurance that's subsidized by the company. Like, I pay so much a month for Blue Cross Blue Shield, subsidized by Northrop Grumman. And I don't make anywhere near as much money as these fucks are making. So, piss off.
Yeah, fuck those guys. Never mind. I take it back what I said. Except for the ones that don't make that much money. Like, because you said, what, 80% of them or something like that make that
well,
much
no,
money?
Well, no, I said 80%, but it's because I'm knocking back this ridiculously strong beer, this flavor. And I was going for $81,000 to $91,000 is where I was going there. Well, yeah, but... Yes, that's the average salary for the people that are striking. Now, this is spread out over 45,000 people. So, granted, there are going to be people on the high end, there are going to be people on the low end,
but
still,
there's a lot to get that.
Yeah.
Average out of 45,000.
It's not exactly a small sample size.
No.
All right.
Yeah, they need to. I'm glad they're going back to work. That shit ain't cool.
Yeah, they realized after that first paycheck didn't come in, oh, shit, this is bad.
Look, I mean, I'm all for if you have a cause and you want to stand up for it, but it gets real different when you're like, I don't have any money.
And yeah. when your cause is, I don't want to give up some of my $90,000 a year to make sure I can go to the doctor when I have a broken bone. You know, fuck you. All right, there are people that don't have a choice. They honestly cannot afford the health insurance.
You know what I do when I got a broken bone? I fucking leave it like that and see how it grows.
Put some super glue on that shit.
Duct tape, bitch.
Exactly. That's what happens when you don't have $90,000. All right. Disfigurement. That's what happens.
Disfigurement.
All right, one more normal story. RIM, you know, the people that make BlackBerry, Research in Motion, they're planning a music service.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're planning a music service kind of in the same vein as like sort of like a limited Zune Pass kind of thing. It's you get 50 songs a month. It's going to cost you $5, I believe.
Yeah.
And they're thinking that because they have so many people, it's like 45 million, I think, like 45 million people worldwide, they're thinking, well, if we market this to even a fraction of our people, that's still a nice hefty chunk of change, you know?
So, and they're trying to integrate it with the BlackBerry Messenger, which is really all that BlackBerry has going for it, because BlackBerry Messenger is pretty cool. If you have people to use it with. And they say that you could, like, share songs with other BBM friends.
How is that any different from Spotify, RDO?
Exactly, exactly.
Well, the only way that it's different is that it's integrated directly into the BlackBerry architecture. That'd be about it.
Into the phone.
Oh, great.
Because if you have a BlackBerry, you don't have Spotify.
Yeah, you don't really have a lot of choices for.
Yeah, you don't have shit. Look, I have a BlackBerry. I can tell you don't have shit.
I don't see.
I don't see this as being something that saves them. But I mean, they're trying. I think they've kind of started to figure out they can't market to the business consumer anymore. And they're trying to take baby steps to be like, let's get to marketing to the average consumer and people who like fun, neat things. But I don't think it's going to help them that much.
Okay, so let's weigh your options here. You've got BlackBerry, and what they've got going for them is Messenger and hypothetically this music service. Or you've got iOS, Android, fuck, even Windows Phone.
Yeah, no, they...
all sorts of cool shit. Where am I going to go? Where am I going to give my money to?
This really is a baby step, and they need to be taking giant strides, and it's not happening.
They're fucked.
I love it when you guys both go off on a tangent and get all angry and nobody hears anything.
Well, fuck it. You know what I mean?
But yes, what I heard, you're both making good points. You can choose the one that has media, is a really cool messenger and mediocre everything else, or you can choose one of the multiple services that has outstanding everything.
Yeah, and you know, I'd like to see BlackBerry get back into the game, because all my BlackBerry phones have been really sturdy and pretty good build quality, but everything else sucks. And they need to do more, and this is not enough. So we can move on now to WTF news. I'm done.
Yeah, fuck BlackBerry. Well, didn't they just come out with some new phones too?
They still suck ass.
And nobody cares because, like, I believe they're the not exact a single same phones that were already out and just.
Yeah. Well, they kind of pissed people off because they abandoned their previous phones. They're like, we're gonna put this new OS out on these new phones, but the rest of you guys are fucked. Yeah. And it is. It's like OC just said. They're the same phones they already have out. There's no diversity.
They added an extra color to the scroll bar.
Yeah, they didn't do shit. And it's depressing. But we're moving on.
All right. It's time for What the Fuck News!
Woo!
This is where the music's really bad. This is going to sound horrible.
The ginger beatbox. Way to go. Please don't do that again. All right, we're gonna start with the sad one and then move on to the funny what the fuck ones. Three people died from a brain infection from an amoeba. A brain-eating amoeba that lives in water.
That is fucking frightening.
I've heard about this before. Let me open the story. Hold on.
Yeah, killed a 16-year-old girl who got sick after swimming. A 9-year-old boy in Virginia who died a week after a fishing camp, just a day camp. He wasn't even there like all the time. It was just a day camp. He got dunked in on his first day, and that's what got him. So basically this bug just, it gets in, the little amoeba, little microscopic single-cell organism, lives in the water, gets in there, swims around, gets to your brain, and just goes to town.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about this before. It's this, like bacteria or whatever. And the fucked up thing about it is it actually, I guess, thrives in warm water, whereas most, you know, get killed in warm water. This one thrives in, like, hot springs and stuff like that. And I guess when you swim around in the infected water, it's not a big deal as long as you don't submerge your head. But you do that and it gets up in your brain and it fucking kills you. There was an episode.
Yeah, Mary Mac saying warm still water, so like small lakes lake.
There was an episode of, I don't know if anyone, either of you or any of our listeners, is familiar with the Smodcast, Kevin Smith's podcast. One of the very early episodes, they talked about this same thing, and this was a couple years ago too. So,
it's rare. Because there's only been like 120 cases of it happening since the 60s.
Yeah, I think the article says about 3 deaths reported per year.
Yeah, and it's just fucking scary. I wouldn't want that shit to happen.
Yeah.
Because I've swam in all kinds of ponds and
yeah, man.
And whatnot.
Growing up in the South, that's
what you do.
standard summer day. You find a small lake or a pond and just go jumping in. You put a fucking big rope up in the air and swing out into
Woo-hoo!
It.
Woohoo!
That's, and just knowing that creepy shit like this could happen. Nature, use a scary bitch.
Scary bear, scary bitch. Yeah, that, no. No, no, no.
Well, so, yeah, basically what the water, or the water, the article says, oh, like, yeah, don't go swimming, I guess, is this thing. And also don't use nasty water in neti pots, I guess, is the is the moral here.
But neti pots are the things that you use to, like, clean out your ears and stuff.
Yeah. Okay, in this article, I guess one of the doctors that studies this amoeba or something, or he's like a water expert. His last name is Rattard, R-A-T-A-R-D. Every time I glance at the article, I think it says Retard. Which is, it's not PC.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's not cleaning out your ears. It's used to clean out your nose.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mary Mac.
It's funny, though. Have you ever seen anyone use one? It's
pretty hilarious. Where they, like, stick the, I know what it is. They, like, you stick the, it looks like a little teapot. You stick it in one side, and you...
It, like, runs out the other. It's weird.
Yeah. You let it run out, and you see it, like the water goes up and makes a U-turn. It comes out the other nostril.
Yeah. My sister has one, and she says it actually helps. Like, it feels pretty good afterwards. It kind of burns at first, but it feels clearer once you, you know, flush it out.
Okay, moving on.
I'm talking about nose hygiene.
Pots. Exactly.
All right. I'm sorry, I like this one. A Galveston, Texas man bit a woman because he claimed to be a vampire.
Look at that guy's mugshot, too. What a classy guy.
Well, I can tell right away he's not a vampire because he doesn't sparkle. So. oh, wait, that's not, you know, that's not vampire canon? My bad.
My bad.
All right, so Lyle Monroe Bensley, 19 years old, of Galveston, Texas, is being held on a charge of burglary with intent to commit assault after forcing his way early Saturday into the apartment of a woman he did not know. Bensley, covered with tattoos and wearing only boxer shorts, what the fuck, forced his way into the apartment on Sewell Boulevard and made his way to the bedroom of the woman, whose name has not been released. Bensley made growling and hissing noises while biting and hitting a woman in her head. Bensley then dragged her out of the apartment, and she broke free.
She Why didn't he take her outside?
So that she could see His Majesty sparkling underneath the light of the moon.
Well, okay, doesn't this dude know anything about vampires? Like, they can't enter a residence unless they've been invited in. Come on, dude.
They have to knock first.
Look,
yeah, pretty much.
Bensley said, "I'm a vampire. I've been alive for 500 years." That's my impression.
He's from Texas, and he has a very good old boy name. That's Lyle Bensley. That boy Lyle down there, he's a little bit weird. He likes to bite people and suck on them.
They're vampires.
Man, y'all hear about Lyle jump up in that old apartment, dang old, knock the woman over, hissing and biting and scratching shit?
I'll tell you what.
Yep. that's all I can add to that, because not being from the South, I just watch a lot of King of the Hill.
That's about all you can do.
Pretty much.
So he's been placed on a mental health hold, and his bond is set at $40,000. Let that be a lesson to you, kids. Don't claim to be a vampire.
Well, you know, and obviously I already know he's not a vampire, looking at his mugshot, and he has the tan lines where he wears sunglasses. So that means that he's been outdoors.
Well, those are Ray-Bans. He uses SPF 3000.
Maybe he was tanning by moonlight, dude.
Tanning by moonlight.
Okay.
I'm just going to say he was probably just high as shit, and claiming to be a vampire was the first thing that came to mind. Or he was tripping, and he was tripping, yeah. Why did I just say that like that? Whatever. He was having a bad trip. And he thought he was a vampire.
I think he was just real high, and he just got done reading The Twilight and was like, this will be a legitimate excuse.
All right, you know what? Bad trip to worst trip. When you wake up from a surgery and you find out your dong is missing.
Oh, I hate when that happens.
That's a bad trip. Guy is suing his surgeon for amputating his penis.
If there was never a more legitimate reason to sue someone.
Yes, in this day and age of unnecessary lawsuits, this should take precedence over everything else. All your silly bullshit needs to go to the back of the courtroom while this man brings his penisless crotch to the front and has it out with his surgeon, because there's just something wrong with this. And I want to know why there are 8 women on this jury.
Well, because I'm actually more surprised there are 6 men, because it seems like, what do you call that when jury selection, they don't want people that are biased? It seems like every guy out there be like, guilty, guilty.
He got his dick cut off. That surgeon must be guilty.
Exactly. Yeah, because no man is going to go in. Well, there might be some man that goes in and says, hey, could you just get rid of that for me? It's so kind of getting in the way. I wake up with morning wood. I can't piss right. Just lop it off. Just feel like it'd be easier. My pants would fit better.
I could finally squeeze into my girl jeans. It'll be awesome.
I can run around pretending to be a vampire.
yeah.
So, how does it even happen? Does he like forget who he's operating on? It's like, oh yeah.
Like, wait a minute, this isn't supposed to be here. Snip, snip.
I'm supposed to be operating on a lady. I don't have time to check the charts. I'm just going to make it a lady.
Anything about a penis, I'll go ahead and get rid of that for her. That probably sticks out terribly in her skirts. Oh, see, they don't really say much about the trial itself. This is mostly about the jurors and, you know, the limited amount of things that they can say. I like this line, though. If my mother could hear it, she would tell me to wash my mouth out with soap. But you will hear reference to the private body parts during this trial.
Go figure.
Oh, here's something. It says that the doctor removed the penis because he had discovered cancer. He had penis cancer.
Dick cancer.
Mm. And that's his excuse for cutting off this man's penis.
Cancer of the dick?
It's like, well, I'm already in here. Might as well take this out. I'm sure he won't mind.
Well, I want to know how he just discovered cancer in the guy's dong.
Even if the guy did have dick cancer,
he felt a tumor.
I think that there should be some form of, you got to clear this shit before you cut off my dick, man.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, maybe it's kind of one thing if it's like, we were inside of you and we found you had appendicitis, so we took it out. It's like, all right, I guess I can live with that. But
we don't really need my appendix. But I kind of need my Johnson, man.
Yeah, removing something you don't need and removing something that you very much want to stay there, two different things.
Exactly. Or maybe the doctor was jealous. Like, this guy's got a bigger dick than I do. I'm going to take care of that.
Not anymore. You'll be singing falsetto from now on.
I was just skimming the article, and which, frankly, I don't know why anyone wrote an article about the jury selection for this trial, but it was they're talking about members of the staff.
Members.
And one of them is Will Smith. I was like, bonus. What's the Fresh Prince doing there? Oh no! You know what, guys? Just figured out. Apparently, it was a Jewish hospital. So maybe they're trying to circumcise him.
Oh, man.
L'chaim. Ooh.
That is, I don't know. It is kind of sad this article only talks about the jury selection, but maybe there's just not that much going on in Shelby County, Kentucky.
In Shelbyville.
Shelby County. All right. Moving on away from penis mutilation, an information technology administrator has pleaded guilty to crippling his former employer's network after FBI agents traced the attack to the Wi-Fi network at a McDonald's restaurant in Georgia. The administrator was caught after he used his credit card to make a $5 purchase at the restaurant about 5 minutes before the hacks occurred. Jason Idiot. Cornish, 37, pleaded guilty Tuesday in New Jersey to crippling the network of Shionogi, a subsidiary of a Japanese pharmaceutical company that has offices in New Jersey and Georgia. Cornish apparently hacked the company after a friend of his was fired from the firm. According to court documents, blah, 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 blah. You're a fucking idiot. If you're going to do some dumb shit like this, pay with cash. Come on, man.
Isn't the first rule of this kind of thing, don't leave a fucking paper trail? I don't care how much you want. It's a fries and an apple pie. You can wait, dude. Or go to Jack in the Box across the street.
We don't have Jack in the Box here.
Oh, so
yeah, you got to go further west to get to Jack in the Box.
That's another thing I'm going to have to do while I'm out there. I haven't had Jack in the Box in close to a decade.
Fuck you. Okay, Jack in the Box is good and all, but if you're coming to the West Coast, Southern California, don't specifically go to Jack in the Box. Go to In-N-Out.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you have to go to In-N-Out as opposed to Jack in the Box.
But Jack in the Box also has to happen.
Okay, I can accept these terms.
All right. So, yeah. When you are using public Wi-Fi to hack a network, I mean, that's probably your best course of action because it'll make it a whole lot harder to trace. But numero uno, don't fucking leave a paper trail. Pay with cash. If you really got to have shitty McDonald's coffee that fucking bad, bust out a five spot. Hand it to them. Like, here's your coffee. No, I do not need a receipt.
Yeah, you don't ever want to be able to, for someone to prove you were there. In fact, he should have given someone else his credit card. Be like, all right, at 3 o'clock, I want you to go to Macy's, buy me a sweater. Establish an alibi.
Yeah.
Now, see, that would have been smart. But right. That might be too much for this guy. He is from Jersey, after all.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Hey, fucking Jersey. Only clowns and idiots do things in New Jersey.
Yeah.
And people that like money. Please don't fire them.
Or else you're going to have to pay for your own benefits. Oh, wait, you already do.
Oh, yeah, there's that. So, originally, they said that the hacks cost Shionogi about $300,000. And then later, it got up to $800,000 somehow. Like, the three just magically transformed into an eight.
They added a little curved line to make it an eight.
But this guy pleaded guilty to one charge under the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, faces a possible maximum sentence of 10 years in prison and a $250,000 fine.
I bet he wishes he didn't get that Big Mac.
It wasn't even a Big Mac, dude. It was a fucking coffee.
McDonald's. Oh, does it actually say that's exactly what he ordered?
$5 coffee is quite the coffee at McDonald's.
It's probably one of those, like,
it does say $5 coffee purchase.
Frou-frou shits.
Yeah. Maybe he just had to have one of those real fruit smoothies with the 11 hojillion calories.
The McFlurry?
No, they don't have the real fruit smoothies where you are.
I don't know. I don't fucking go to McDonald's.
Fucking whole milk and super fatty yogurt.
And if I'm going to McDonald's, I'm not fucking getting one of those things. Sounds gross.
I don't know. All my fat friends like them. It's a real fruit smoothie. It's good for you. Yeah,
I don't want to. Anytime I go to McDonald's, it's because I want shitty food and I want to punish my body. I don't want to pretend to be healthy. So just give me the greasiest, nastiest, most horrible burger you can give me. And I'll go home and cry in shame.
Well, see, if I want to punish my body, I just go to Taco Bell.
Yeah, that's when your body is.
That's another really layer upset. Of hell.
No, we were out a couple days ago and my wife said, "You want to get something to eat?" I said, "Yeah, but I want it to be fast and calorically devastating. What do we got?" She said, "How about Burger King?" I said, "Yes, that will do it.
With extra bacon.
I will regret that later, so yes." Okay, I'm trying to figure out if we want to do... Yeah, let's do this one first. Pasco, Florida couple could lose their home to foreclosure because they paid their mortgage too early.
Too early?
Yeah.
How's that work?
Listen, it says, it seems that Bank of America filed for foreclosure on them. Hey, it's Bank of America. There's
once again fucking people over.
Fucking Bank of America, you guys are idiots. The couple would have to first. Oh wait, hold on. When James became ill, the couple encountered financial difficulties because of high medical bills. The couple asked Bank of America to modify the loan. There was a catch, though. The couple would have to first officially default on their $1,400 a month payment. Wow, how many of them had? $1,400 a month payment. The couple did that, entered into the modification plan, which reduced their payment to $916 a month. Sharon Mullington made the January payment on December 23rd. Bank accepted the money. The next month, she made the February payment over the phone. A couple weeks later, money hadn't been withdrawn. She called. She talked to him. She's like, hey, what's going on? And apparently, she had punched in the wrong routing number. Bank kicked out. And then, in March, the bank kicked them out of the modified plan. So, she calls back, or she writes them a letter to the president and says, please help me. Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope. In accordance with the trial payment letter dated December 15th, 2010, it indicates that if you are not able to make each payment in the month in which it is due, you will not be eligible for a modification under the Home Affordable Modification Program. There's a lot to this. Man, is there no way to summarize this?
Apparently not. Well, I guess the long story short is Bank of America is trying to foreclose on the terminally ill patient because they paid too early. But there's like lots of catches and complications. It's complicated. Go figure. A lawsuit is complicated. Whatever. But it seems pretty fucked up. I suggest you guys just read the article.
Well, their lawyer says that it doesn't make any sense because the Bullingtons were doing exactly what the bank told them to do. So they do what the bank tells them to do, and then the bank says, we're going to take yours.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm still not surprised because there's just so much history and there's so many horror stories of you doing exactly what they want you to do, and they still turn around and fuck you anyway. Banks suck. Plain and simple.
Yeah, Mary Max chiming in saying they didn't read the fine print. She works for one of those foreclosure places.
Oh, I see.
So this is like when we start talking about law stuff and Underboob comes in here. Like ranting and screaming at us. This is basically the same thing, except it's Marion.
You're all idiots. You don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Which I don't dispute. Quite frankly, I know I'm an idiot and don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at this from a news point of view, which is always going to be skewed one way or another, depending on who reports it. And we're making our judgments and assumptions based on what we see and what we see as fair. But there's often a lot more to it that we don't know. But still, fuck Bank of America. Guys are fucking assholes.
I can get behind that statement.
Yeah, totally agree.
And the grand finale.
Oh, here it goes.
Dun, dun, dun. Yes, this is a good one.
That's the best one, I think.
PETA, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Asshole Animals. is planning on making a porn site.
See, I'm conflicted because I hate PETA, but I love porn. So
I don't know if you're gonna like this porn.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing that makes me wonder. Are they going to put all of their don't eat KFC because they treat their animals bad? Kind of thing in with the porn, because I can go to Reddit and get, you know, guilt-free porn there. I don't need that.
According to this guy named Raggett, or no, a lady, It's always a lady with Pete. I should know better.
Yeah.
It will have enough adult content to qualify for the XXX porn domain name, but it will also have other graphic images of animals that viewers may not expect to see. So, like, you could be watching a porno and fapping away, and all of a sudden there's, like, a picture of a cow getting mutilated with its hammer, and I don't know how they butcher cows, but, you know, that's bad. And you're just like, the fuck? And you totally lose it. They can't have a porn site.
You know what? There, if my many years of internet browsing have taught me nothing, I have at least learned that somewhere, in some way, there will be somebody that will be able to fap to that shit.
There's always someone who's able to get past it, but
some real sadist shit, you know.
Somebody's gonna see that and they'll be like,
"Okay,
why not?" Oh, but, man, that's gonna be a cheeseburger soon.
Yeah,
I fucking love cheeseburgers.
But, you know, I just want to say, fuck PETA, fuck everything about them. I hate that organization with a passion. I eat more meat because of PETA. And all of their bullshit advertising that tries to prey on your fucking bleeding heart sympathies for animals. I love animals. Well, let me tell you, PETA fucking hates you, all right? They like animals more than they like people. And PETA doesn't do shit. If you want to help animals, donate to a more worthy fucking organization like the ASPCA or something, not fucking PETA. I think everyone listening right now needs to go watch Penn and Teller's bullshit about PETA. And
oh, man.
Animal. Well, that's, yeah. No pun intended. Animals that PETA hit. Fuck PETA. That is a great show. Over and over again.
Now, I'm going to play devil's advocate one last time. I think PETA does have a valid point and a good message that animals that we use for food are sometimes treated horribly. But the way they go about distributing that message is in some ways as bad, if not worse, than the way the animals are treated.
Okay,
because you treat your fellow humans worse than you would treat a fucking bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich, then you got some serious mental issues.
Any good that is contained in their messages is completely lost amongst all the other bullshit.
Yes, that's what I was trying to get at. They have a good message, but their delivery system is horrible.
Yeah, everyone needs to do some research on PETA, because on the surface it sounds like a pretty good thing. Like, you know, you don't want animals to suffer. I guess sounds pretty good. But when you really look into PETA's history and their inner workings and all this shit, they're assholes, and I hate PETA so much. And now I'm hungry. I want to go eat an animal, and I want to taste it suffer.
Time to go to In-N-Out and get a double double.
Yeah, I'm gonna order a cheeseburger, and like, and if possible, could you make sure the cow had a name? Bessie sure is delicious today.
Holy shit.
I have ordered chicken with extra hormones when going to Panera Bread. They do not appreciate that.
See, if I was a cashier, I would have.
Yeah, but you wouldn't be a cashier at Panera.
That's true.
You're not pretentious enough.
Although asking for chicken with extra hormones almost seems like you're asking them to jerk off into the sandwich.
Hey, actually, I think that's what he's going for.
This mayonnaise looks off today. It's delicious, though.
I think they put some extra salt on it. Well, see, unfortunately, because we couldn't figure out how to get links working in the chat, we don't have any extra user-generated content this week. So,
blame Kevlar.
Yeah, fucking Kevlar, it's all Kevlar with your vacations.
Fault. How dare you go out and enjoy the
yourself
world.
With your family.
Fucker.
Pristine country rivers. Putting up pictures. Anyway.
Yeah.
Sour grapes.
Pretty much. I think that about wraps it up for episode 42. So,
awesome.
Eric. We know you were here. We were
in spirit.
You were here in spirit.
We felt your presence.
You were here in the chat. We missed your presence on the talking because I know you had some shit to say. And fucking well. Maybe we'll figure this shit out right next time. So on the end of this week, we have Ray Gonzo Ryder.
Yeah, we made it through the whole episode with the three of us. I'm impressed.
Penguin.
Worst episode ever. Actually, no, that I remember the worst episode ever, and this one wasn't it. So yeah, word.
OC says, oh hi, less than three from the chat.
I'm pretty sure that less than three is testicles. Not a heart, as many people would assume. They're testicles.
It's his ball sack.
Oh, hi, testicles. And for this episode, veto number 9, this guy, I was your host. Don't worry, it'll probably never happen again after they hear this.
Thank God.
So that was it. Episode 42 of the Noisecast. Make sure you come back next week. We'll be here, same bad time, same bad channel. Tweet at us on Twitter at twitter.com/noisecast. Like us on Facebook.
Do all that stuff. No, never mind.
I'm fucking doing all that. So would you shut up?
I'm telling them. I'm backing up your point. God damn it.
Okay. Pete is going to get a hold of this episode and just go all over the place. Yeah, like us on Facebook. Give us a plus one.
If you already like us, all the people. Make a new Facebook account and like us again.
Yes, and tell all your friends to like us. Even if your friends don't like us, threaten them with bodily harm.
And here's a challenge. If you just want to fuck with me, because I manage the Noisecast Facebook page, I get an email every time someone new likes it. So fuck with me and get all your friends to like it. You'll be, pissing off some guy.
If for no other reason than to piss off Ben.
Exactly.
That man has a short fuse.
Exactly. So it's a noble cause. So go like the Noisecast, and maybe you'll see some shit you like. Everyone wins except for me.
Maybe you can be in a Photoshop contest and win a prize.
Yes, exactly. And don't forget that each week we have a Photoshop contest. And if we get 5 entries in the Photoshop contest, somebody's going to win a prize. Might be a game. Might be you get to be our 404 page. It might be a signed picture of my junk. Who knows?
That's what I want to win.
Definitely won't be a signed picture of my junk. Whatever. I will give it out to close personal friends.
But you can win some stuff. It's exciting.
You can win some stuff. We really got to get rid of these games. They're clogging up the tubes, and people aren't getting their emails. So hit us up, noisecast.com, twitter.com/noisecast, and on Facebook. Episode 42, we're out this bitch.
Worst long-winded ending.
Oh man, we were quite pleonastic there, but I think it totally worked out.
I do.
All right. Peace.
Yeah, I'm gonna stop this recording before it gets any bigger.
Nice.